house. Amen. Amen. God is good. He is worthy to be praised. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. And here we are. Amen. And we need to be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Giving honor to God, to Jesus Christ, my Savior, to the Holy Spirit, whom I can't live without. And to Pastor Pickens, in his absence, we want to acknowledge him and thank him for this opportunity to bring a word from the Lord. God is a good God, and to all these ministers behind me, and even to Reverend Smith, who is in the congregation, everybody watching online, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. Amen, amen. I'm not going to keep you long this morning, and I like to be on point and on task. Amen. So if you would, let's turn to Genesis 19:15-19. It's Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 through 19. When you have it, say amen. Amen. And it reads as follows. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Then Lot said to them, please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. Amen. You may be seated. If you bow your heads with me, I'd say, as I go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we just come this morning, Lord God, we just come saying thank you, Lord God. God, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you for your peace, Father God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, our Master and our friend, Lord God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who leads, guides, and directs, oh God. And we just come right now in the name of Jesus. I come asking that you just cleanse me right now, Lord God. Forgive me for any sins, anything I have said or done that is not pleasing in your sight. Lord God, I just want to represent you in this moment. So fill me with your Holy Spirit, Father. Allow your word to go forth with clarity and with power, that it might touch the heart of someone, Lord God, that it might help and not hinder, that it might bless and not burden. I just pray, Father God, that you would just have your way in this place this day. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Using this text this morning, I want to talk about a divine escape.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, a divine escape. There's a saying that says the grass is always greener on the other side. And what that saying is really suggesting is that there's always something better. We're always looking for something better. And we believe it's not where we're at. We always believe it's somewhere else. It's always on the other side. The grass looks greener on the other side. I have grass where I'm standing, but the grass across the street looks better. The grass across the street looks greener. My grass looks parched. My grass looks dry. And so we're always seeking something better. But I heard about somebody say that the grass isn't always greener on the other side. It says the grass is greener wherever you water it.
All right.
Amen. 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 So if you just put some water on your parched grass, you might not have to look to the other side. If you just take the time and tend to your yard, you wouldn't have to go to another yard. But because we are who we are, we have a tendency to always look for something better. And so when we look at this passage of scripture this morning, it's talking about a man named Lot. And Lot was the nephew of Abraham, the patriarch Abraham. And Lot used to travel with Abraham. But there came a point in time when the land got too congested. Lot's family and Abraham's family were so large, they were so big, that they were having trouble living together in the same space. I know you can relate to that. I know I can. I have two children and a husband. And if we all lived in the same house, things would begin to get a little congested. Things would begin to get a little tight. And so that's how it was with Abraham and with Lot, and to the point that they began to bicker and to argue. And Abraham, being the righteous man that he was, he didn't want that for his family. So he told his nephew Lot, he said, "Look around." And Lot looked around, and Abraham said to him, "Whatever land you see that you want, I will give it to you. But I just want to keep peace in the family." So Lot looked to the east and the west. He looked to the north and the south, and he saw some green land. And he decided, "I want to go there." Yeah. So he traveled down to this land, and the name of the land happened to be Sodom and Gomorrah, where the grass was greener. Amen. Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so he went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And the funny thing was that when he got down there, he didn't actually enter into the city initially. First, he just pitched a tent outside the city. And then a little while later, a couple chapters later, we find that he had moved inside the city. And then when we come to chapter 19, not only has he moved inside the city, he is sitting at the city gate. That means he has obtained a position of prominence. The men who sat at the gates were officials who usually judged things and kept things in order in the city. And so we find Lot sitting at the gate of Sodom. And he was sitting here, but there was something coming that he had no idea was coming. I have 3 points this morning. My first point is the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Amen. The second point is delivered by God's mercy. And the last point is diverting divine directives. And so as we look at the story, what we need to know, most people know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. That sinful city, that wicked city that practiced homosexuality and did it blatantly, didn't have any shame about their game. And so they just went and did what they needed to do, and they didn't care who saw it. They didn't care who knew. And so not only did they have that sin, but they had a multitude of sins, but they just didn't have any shame about who they were. And so this is where Lot was living. He was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and his uncle Abraham was living in Hebron. And so what he was trying to do when Abraham was out in the yard one day, three angels came. And the angels came and let him know that they were on a mission. They said that the outcries of the people had reached the ears of God, and God had sent them to come see if what they were hearing was true. That is amazing, the outcries of the people. My first point is the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so the outcries of the people had reached the ears of God about this sinful city called Sodom. They had reached the ears of God to the point where about is true. And so when they saw Abraham, they told Abraham about the plan, what they were planning to do, that they were going down there to check out this city called Sodom to see what was going on. And Abraham knew his nephew Lot had moved to the city. And because he loved Lot, he decided he was going to had to go to God, and he had to do a little intercession. Amen. And so he began to intercede on behalf of Lot. And he asked God, he said, "God, if you go down there and you find 50 righteous people, will you spare the city?" And God said, "Yeah, I'll spare the city." But then Abraham thought about it a little bit, and he said, "Well, now if you only find 45, will you spare the city?" And God said, "Yeah, I'll spare the city." And then he said, "Well, what if you only find 40? See, Abraham knew what Sodom was all about. Abraham knew that the possibility of finding anybody righteous in that city was slim to none.
Oh, yeah.
And so he kept bargaining with God. He kept taking that number down. What if you find 30? What if you find 20? And finally he got down and he said, what if you only find 10? And God said, if I find 10, I'll spare the city.
Yeah.
That's what intercession is all about. Intercession is pleading and begging on behalf of God for somebody else. And I don't know about you, but I know I'm standing here today because somebody interceded for me. I may not have known who it was. I might not know who it is right now, but I know somebody prayed for me. Somebody went to God and said, spare her. Somebody went to God and pleaded on my behalf. And I'm so glad that they did. There used to be a song that says, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they did. I'm so glad they did. I'm so glad they prayed for me. Oh, the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Abraham was a righteous man, and he went to interceding on behalf of Lot, and he went to interceding on behalf of the people of Sodom. He went and interceded and asked God to spare them if he could just find 10 people. Just spare the city if you could just find 10. And God came into agreement. God said, yes. Don't think that God won't answer your prayers. God will answer your prayers. God is waiting to hear from us. He is waiting to hear what's on our heart. He is waiting to hear us pleading on behalf of other people. I know for a fact that when I pray for my children, God hears my prayers. I know when I pray for my children, I can see the grace of God in their life. They may not realize it. They might not see it, but I see it. And so it keeps me on bended knees. It keeps me praying for them because I believe in intercession. I believe that God will answer my prayers on behalf of other people. I know that he will do it. He will do it each and every time. And so intercessory prayer is important. Not only praying for yourself, but praying for those who don't even know they need prayer. Lot didn't know he needed prayer. He didn't know what was coming up, but Abraham did. And so Abraham just pleaded and begged on Lot's behalf. And he interceded for him. And God said, okay. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'll spare the city if I find just 10 men. He's sparing our children. He's sparing our grandchildren. He's sparing us. Somebody's praying for us. Amen. Yeah, the reason we are where we are is because somebody's praying for us. Hallelujah. Don't stop praying for people. Pray and keep on praying. Because God answers our prayers. And so the angels went down to Sodom. And they discovered that the outcries that God had heard coming to his hearing was true. The city was just as wicked as they said that it was. And so they also knew that Abraham had his nephew there, Lot. And so they went to Lot's house. And Lot was gracious enough. He had learned enough from his uncle to let them in. Amen. He was in a wicked city, but he still had a little bit of righteousness in him. Amen. And you might be and find yourself in a wicked place, but know that you have a little bit of righteousness in you. And God will spare you because of that little bit of righteousness. Amen. And so he went and the angels came. And it brings us to where we are in this passage today. They came and they saw that the city was wicked. They saw that the men were wicked. They saw that their thoughts were evil. And so they went and they told Lot, we're getting ready to take this place down. Those are my words. Amen.
Yeah.
They told him that. They said, go tell your son-in-laws that we're getting ready to take this place down. And so Lot did that. He went and told his son-in-laws, but they didn't believe him. They thought that he was joking. Why would they think he was joking? You see, what happened to Lot was that when he left Abraham, he had a level of righteousness. But then he moved into this wicked place. He moved to Sodom, and he never really lost his view and his knowledge of God, but he became complacent about his faith in God. He became complacent about the fact that he was to serve God and he was to represent God. And that's so easy to do. Sometimes we think that we could withstand sitting in the middle of evil and sitting in the middle of sin. But Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the godly, who standeth in the way of the sinners. We cannot stand in the way of sinners and think that it's not going to affect us. We cannot stand in the way of sinners and think that it's not going to cause us to live a certain lifestyle. We can become complacent when we live in the midst of people who are not true believers. And so a Lot was living in the midst of these people of Sodom, and he began to think a little bit like them. Didn't care so much about being holy. Didn't care so much about being righteous. But he just lived among them. And so he went and told his nephews, and they didn't, or his son-in-laws, and they didn't believe him because they didn't see him as being a righteous man. They saw him being just like them. And so we have to be careful. And so when the morning came, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment in the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters. Oh, lingering Lot. God had came down to deliver him. God had came down to get him out of the city before he destroyed it. And here is Lot just lingering. Just lingering. Didn't want to leave Sodom. Evil as it was, didn't want to leave. He saw what those men were like. He saw how those men wanted to have sex with the angels. He saw what was going on. He knew their wickedness. He knew their evil. But when it was time to leave, he lingered. How many people has God tried to deliver from something? You know that you was in the wrong place. You knew you were doing the wrong thing. And God said, get up out of there. But you just lingered. You just stayed. Well, there's danger in lingering, because the longer you linger, the closer you are to destruction. Oh, destruction was getting ready to come to Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot wanted to linger to the point where the angels had to pull him out of the city. He didn't walk out on his own accord. They pulled him out. He didn't want to go. He was okay. Maybe he didn't believe that destruction was coming. Or we really can't judge him, because if I stood here this morning and the Lord told me that destruction was getting ready to come to Pilgrim Branch, he was getting ready to blow it up, some of y'all would still, I would say, get up out of here. You got 5 minutes to get up out of here. 10 minutes from now, somebody's still going to be sitting in here. Because we just don't believe the report. And so Lot didn't believe the report, didn't really believe that God was going to destroy the city. And so the angels just pulled him out, to brought him to safety, based on what? The prayer of Abraham. Couldn't find 10 men in the city who were righteous, so he couldn't spare the city. So he just grabbed these four people and brought them out to safety. And he gave them these instructions. He said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Escape for your life. Some people don't take it serious, but I tell you, we're living in a day where we allow so many things. We should be praying that people will be able to escape for their life. I heard this man preach earlier this week. He was preaching about hell. And he said, there's some people who think hell's going to be cool. They think it's going to be a place that where you just party forever. You'll be with your friends down there partying forever. And hey, I'm okay with that. If that's what hell is like, I'm okay with that. But they're misconceived. That is not what hell is like. It's not going to be a party. It's not going to be clubbing all day long for the rest of your life. No, the Bible said it's going to be wailing and the gashing of teeth. It's going to be worms, and it's going to be utter darkness. And so it's not a party place. It's not a place that you want to go. But there's some people who are just hell-bent, if you will, on living a certain way and living a certain lifestyle, that even when it's time to escape the destruction, they will not leave. They will not leave. They will not go. They're okay. Or so they think, being where they are. But the angel said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you. Have you ever been delivered from something? Better yet, have you ever been delivered from someone? God does deliver us from people. And when he delivers us from anything, his intent is not that we go back. The Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt after he had delivered them from the Egyptians. And Lot wanted to stay in Sodom when he was trying to deliver him from Sodom. There's something about us that wants to stay in our comfort zone. But God doesn't want us to stay in our comfort zone. He said, I'm pulling you out. I'm delivering you. And don't you look back. Don't you turn back. Don't you go back. But there's something about us that always wants to return to things that were harmful, return to things that were not good for us, return to those things that we thought were greener but really weren't. We want to return instead of going to the place that God is trying to get us to. God wanted to send a Lot to the mountains. He wanted to elevate him. He wanted to take him out of that place, but Lot didn't want to go. God is trying to elevate some of us, but we don't want to go. We don't want to escape. We want to keep looking back. Looking back, you can't go forward looking backwards. And so God is trying to move you up. He's trying to elevate you. He's trying to get you out of a place of danger. He's trying to get you out of a place of destruction. And you're trying to hold on and look back as if there was something there, some blessing there for you. But there isn't. Trying to take you to a higher place. In order to go to a higher place, you're going to have to let go of some things. In order to go to a higher place in God, you're going to have to be able to surrender to some things. But Lot liked where he was. It wasn't a concern for him. It was a concern for Abraham. It was a concern for God. But it wasn't a concern for Lot. It was his life, but he really wasn't concerned about his life. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Then Lot said to them, please know, my Lord, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight. And you have increased your mercy, which you have shown by saving my life. He acknowledged that he was being saved by mercy. What is mercy? It's God giving to us what we don't deserve. Lot probably needed to go down with the rest of the Sodomites. He probably needed to go down with the rest of the city. But because Abraham had prayed for him and because God has shown him mercy, he pulled him out. And so now Lot is just going on that mercy. Have mercy on me one more time. Have mercy on me one more time. I just had mercy on you. Just do it one more time. Don't send me to the mountains. I don't think I'm going to make it up there. Let me just stay here in the valley. Oh, God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. We think we know what's best for us. Even in this scenario, Lot thought he knew what was best for him. The mountains isn't the answer, even though that's where God told him to go. Just let me stay. Oh, we're so quick to settle. We settle for less than what God wants to give us. We just want to stay close to what we're familiar with. But what we are familiar with, God might be trying to bring you out of. What you are comfortable with, God might be trying to deliver you from. What you like is what God is trying to get you to escape out of it. And we are just so comfortable with it that we're going to settle for less than what God wants to give us. He wants to give us blessings. Hallelujah. He wants to give us great things. He wants to use us in a great way, but we won't come out from where we're at. We want to stay where we're at. But God is saying, come out in the name of Jesus. He will pull you out of darkness and he'll place you in a marvelous light. But we don't want the marvelous light. We don't want to go. The Bible said that Jesus came down and the people knew him. He was among the people, but they did not recognize him. They did not know that he was the light shining in darkness. They didn't recognize who he was. But we have to know that Jesus Christ is a deliverer. Salvation means to deliver. God is trying to deliver some people in the world. God is trying to bring you out of darkness. Why won't you come? Why won't you come into the light? You won't come into the light because the light exposes your darkness. But that's okay, because in Jesus Christ you can be forgiven. He can forgive every sin. He can forgive you. He can cleanse you. He can wash you. You don't have to settle for sin. You don't have to settle for Sodom. You can come out of it. God is a deliverer. He will pull you out. He will rescue you. He will help you, but you have to want it just as much as he wants to give it. He will give you salvation. He will give you deliverance. He will free you from the sin that has you bound, but you have to want it as much as he wants it. If he tells you to leave, leave. If he tells you to come, come. If he tells you to go, go. Why? So you could receive the blessing. Lot decided he was going to live in this small city. He wasn't going to the mountains. And his life after that was just as bad as it was when he was in Sodom. It didn't get better, y'all. I always wonder what would have happened if he had just went to the mountain. We think we know better than God. But God says, I have a plan for you. A plan of good and not of evil. To give you a future and to give you a hope. It is a divine escape. Being in Jesus Christ is an escape from the world. Escape from the wickedness of the world. Escape from the evil of the world. We can escape the consequences of sin if we would just put our trust in Jesus Christ. If we would just believe he is who he says he is and he can do what he says he can do. If we would just believe that he is all powerful, almighty. If we would just trust him with our whole life without trying to hold on to a piece of it. Lot was trying to hold on to a piece of his life, but God wanted him to let it go. And I'm just encouraging this morning, let it go in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is you're trying to hold on to, I'm encouraging you to let it go. Let God have his way. He knows the plan for your life. He knows how it's all going to work out. When we do it in our own strength, it only leads to destruction. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. Lot's life did not get better. In fact, I would say it got worse. But if he had only been more willing, if he had only been more compliant, if he had only been more obedient, he probably would have had a different outcome. So your divine escape, when God comes to deliver you, I encourage you to go. Do not look back. Do not turn around. Do not even think about it. Just keep moving forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."